Well, if you can tell us what Homeland's all about, if you can tell us where the jurisdiction is, what kind of projects you are, what stage you're in.
Yeah. So we are completely focused in uranium and completely focused in the United States. We think that's the best place for uranium investors to be right now. I have two projects in the state of Colorado, right in the northwest corner. Those projects have had historical resources from the pre-Three Mile Island era, when the uranium industry collapsed in the U.S., done by bigger companies. And our job is to convert those resources into current resources, start and try to get ourselves into that production scenario in the next decade.
So you're, how far are you, and what's the milestone that you're looking at? We are at the Rural Symposium, and this is 2026 Rural Symposium, and I have with me Roger LeMaitre. Roger LeMaitre is the president and CEO of Homeland Uranium. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm doing really great. It's been a great show so far. Hopefully you're having a good one as well.
I am. So is this your first time here, or have you been here before?
We were here for the first time last year because our company is 16 months old, so we couldn't have been here before.
Well, Roger, if you can just tell us first, for our listeners, how people can find you, where you trade, and your website.
Okay. So our ticker symbol is HLU on the TSX Venture Exchange, or HLUCF on the OTCQB. We also trade under D3U on the Frankfurt Exchange. We can be found at homeland-uranium.com, and you can get a hold of us at roger@homeland-uranium.com.
Well, if you can tell us what Homeland's all about, if you can tell us where the jurisdiction is, what kind of projects you are, what stage you're in.
Yeah. So we are completely focused in uranium and completely focused in the United States. We think that's the best place for uranium investors to be right now. I have two projects in the state of Colorado, right in the northwest corner. Those projects have had historical resources from the pre-Three Mile Island era, when the uranium industry collapsed in the U.S., done by bigger companies. And our job is to convert those resources into current resources, start and try to get ourselves into that production scenario in the next decade.
So you're, how far are you, and what's the milestone that you're looking at?
So we just passed one of our first milestones. We worked on our first project, Coyote Basin, did a drill program there. We got anomalous radioactivity everywhere, but the uranium doesn't seem to be, we can't explain why we're not seeing the uranium. So we're going to pivot towards our second project, which was equally as good, if not better, called Crossbones, Crossbones has a large historical resource. We have a historical data set there, and our job is to once again convert that over the next probably 2 years with a multi-stage drill program.
So you're having two in the exploration stage, and you're going from one to the other, and primarily, you're pivoting for what was the reason again? Because you're not finding the uranium?
We didn't find uranium where we were expecting to see it from the historical work.
Okay.
So we still have to figure out why.
Okay.
But right, for interest, it's shareholders' best interest to see us pivot to our other project, which is a complicated story in a weird way. While we were drilling that program, we actually ended up with more data. The other project that actually accelerated that project ahead.
The first one?
Of the first project.
Okay.
And actually saved the company. It's going to save the company $5 million of exploration rework we do not have to redo. Assuming we confirm with some first phase work that there's at least a handful of holes on the same with twin holes.
So the first project, is that going to go dormant? And the second one, what reasons do we have for maybe more optimism?
The other one's going to go short, I would say completely dormant. We're going to dabble away at figuring out what the cause was, but not spending significant investor resources on that. The second one, I think we're a little more optimistic for multiple reasons. First of all, different historical operators, multiple sources of the uranium, different operators over different periods of time. So a lot harder to see a single source mistake happen to cause an issue. And it was a larger of the two resources to begin with. So yeah, we think it's actually, we'll have to see what the drill hole tells us, but we're more optimistic about it.
And how big is the land?
We have 37,000 acres of land in the Colorado area, in that northwestern Colorado. They're equally divided between both projects, roughly.
How friendly of a state is Colorado, and what's the timeline for permit?
I think the timeline for, one of the reasons why we're in the United States is we thought, first of all, it's a great jurisdiction to be in. I think there's Colorado and there's Colorado. And no. Just like we see in other jurisdictions, there's certain places where people want you, there's certain places where people don't want you. This particular part of Colorado is a resource-driven area. It's got 80 years of oil and gas production, which border up on the property, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so, and there's an active coal mine, is our literally our neighbor. So they do have a resource history. Now, if you try to do that in certain parts of Colorado, that might be a little more challenging. Yeah. And I think any jurisdictions like that, it's definitely a lot more resource-driven. And our what we're seeing from local groups is that they're very pro. In fact, one of the people involved in the permitting process was here last year, so in this symposium.
Yeah.
So I think that that bodes well for the entire industry. The permitting timelines is always really difficult to tell. Obviously, with the current administration, things are moving faster. But in the United States, nuclear is a bipartisan issue that's supported by both sides and by all political parts of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so how fast the accelerator goes, I don't know. We think it's a 2 to 3 year process
okay.
at this point in time.
So you said that U.S. is the place to be. Is that for most things or uranium in particular?
I only really speak about uranium because, quite frankly, there's an energy security issue, energy supply issue that's out in place. The United States this year produced 4% of its domestic need.
Okay.
That's up 4 times from where it was a year ago.
Okay.
Before that, we're seeing a lot of I think the uranium world is in danger of becoming bifurcated on a east-west-ish divide, like it was after the Cold War, and so energy security is a bit of a challenge for, particularly in the United States, when you're so exposed. Yes, they do get half their uranium from Canada and Australia and Namibia. But the other half, just a little under the other half, comes from Russia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and Niger. Yeah. So a little bit of a challenge potentially in the future that they want to be exposed to. And so we think it's in the uranium world, it's more of like a field of dreams. If you can build it economically, there's going to be a buyer for what you do domestically.
Do you have an experience with uranium for a good while? I mean, how'd you get into uranium, and then why these projects in particular?
I've been in uranium for 26 years.
Okay.
So I started in 2001 when the industry was pretty much at its all-time low. I think, if I recall correctly, uranium price was in single-digit dollars back then. And actually, it was so, unfortunately, someone had to pass away when I joined Cameco to be allowed to be offered an opportunity there. It's changed quite a bit since then. I had a career in copper, gold, zinc before that, but over that 26 years, I started off as an exploration geologist, helping make discoveries in the Athabasca Basin, managed Saskatchewan exploration for Cameco, was on their mergers and acquisition team, and then at the end, when they were working all over the world, I oversaw their, as a director for worldwide exploration operations, I was overseeing their global execution of exploration, Australia, Cameco, US, Mongolia, Canada, some stuff in Europe as well.
So Roger, you've got a lot of uranium experience from all over. You've seen a lot of different companies. You've evaluated a lot of companies. You've seen what works, what doesn't, what's maybe a good investment versus not so good. Like, what excites you particular about these projects?
I think it gives Homeland shareholders an opportunity to be a resource-bearing company under compliant resources. And there's a very big difference for investors in terms of sustainability of companies that are resource bearing versus those that are not. And you see it in the market caps of the companies. So the ability to move the bar from an exploration company to a resource company in a short period of time is really exciting from a valuation point of view. And I want to be part of that.
So where are you right now with market cap, and where do you hope, let's say we're here a year from now and we're having another conversation, where do you hope to be?
Well, a year from now, we'll be in the middle of our delineation program at Crossbones on the second phase, the first, and so maybe a little more than a year from now, we want to see the company issue its first 43-101 on Crossbones, and that should be a re-rating opportunity. We're right now, our market cap is 15 million Canadian, 10 million American. We were higher than that before we had our disappointment earlier. So I'm hoping that we're going to be north of our 30-cent initial public offering this time next year.
Where do you...
But that will depend on how much we accomplish.
And so, when are you expecting any news coming out for your findings?
Right now, we're looking to get we've got our permit to do the work that we want to do, which is far bigger than what we're going to do in the first phase.
Yeah.
First phase will be all about proving up some of the historical data is true and accurate.
Yeah.
And that we should be drilling in October, and we'll have news from that till the year end when we get the assay results back out. And then it will be all about oncoming drill results after that.
And how invested are you? I know you got a lot of experience, but you can just tell us a little bit more about yourself in terms of how invested you are and the leadership you have, not only for yourself, but the team you have around you.
Yeah. Well, the one thing about Homeland that is unique to companies our size is the, and everyone will say they have the greatest board in the world.
Yeah.
I think the proof is in the pudding in our company. Eugene McBurney is an absolute legend in the capital market space in resource marketing for decades. He's the chair of our board. Mark Christensen is a legend. Bernie Posnowski is probably the best securities lawyer in Canada when it comes to the junior market, mining market space. He's on our board for governance. We have Andrew Tunks, who was involved in one of the largest discoveries in the history of ACAP in the last cycle, and is running one of the largest rare earth companies in the space.
Yeah.
These guys joined our IPO, and I was very surprised when people said, think about these guys. Mm-hmm. If I got one of them, I would have been ecstatic. They all joined up, which was shocking. Our VP Exploration, she has been a proven finder of mineralization deposits in the Athabasca Basin for almost as long as I've been around for. Yeah. Been doing it for 20 plus years. She knows how to find things, and Nancy is excellent. Joel's really good at managing, our CFO is exceptional at managing that corporate secretary type stuff. But, and then they have my strength about being involved in multiple discoveries around the world on multiple continents, and experience with Cameco is looking at all the opportunities.
Yeah.
And then 9 years working at UEX Corporation, leading them through the post-Fukushima era, right up to the start of this particular run, yet still doubling resources under management during that period of time. And we ended up selling the company for 4 times what it started with when I started there. So
I want to ask you about share structure.
Yep.
If you can tell me the number of shares, the significant options, warrants, how will you know people in the register?
Yep. Okay, so we have 111, roughly, million shares outstanding right now. Okay. Fully diluted, we're at about 145. Half of that gap, half are options, half are warrants. The warrants are all priced at 50 cents. They'll expire, almost all of them, and they'll expire 2 years from March 2025. So they're this coming March, they'll expire. Our options are priced at almost all. We just issued some due to our new director, Bernie, who just joined us, but they're almost all at 30 cents with a 5-year term, and we're 1 and a bit years into those.
And how well do you know people in the register, and how invested are you?
I myself have 924,000 shares of the company. We have some RSUs that come due this year that will add another couple hundred thousand to the portfolio. So I'm sitting on just a little around 0.9% of the company. Insiders and management directors have 11.1% of the company. And the vendors of the company that brought us the properties are sitting on a similar amount of shares.
So total. About 23% total-ish?
That's correct.
Okay. And so any major institutions or people that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, obviously since we're here,
as
you know, Rick says he's involved in every single one of the companies that are here. So he is one of our larger investors.
And so Rick Rule doesn't just bring anybody here. So what do you think, if I ask Rick, what do you think excites him most about your company? Or what kind of excitement are you seeing from investors here about why they're excited about maybe what you guys are up to?
One, they like the uranium space. Two, they like being in the United States. And three, we have a resource project with a very strong leadership team. I think that's kind of, who's been there and done that on all sides of what you need to run a junior mining company, from the technical expertise to the capital market experience to the corporate governance.
Yeah.
We got it covered.
Where are you seeing the biggest risk or the question marks that they're raising?
Right now, the question marks are, why didn't things happen like we thought at Coyote Basin? And unfortunately, we have solutions to those, or not solutions, but ideas of why that's the case. We're going to have to figure, we still have time to put in to figure that out, but we don't want to invest too much of our investors' resources into that.
Yeah.
So it's all about, will Crossbones turn out the way it's supposed to?
A lot of excitement around uranium. I mean, where do you think uranium, are you bullish on uranium for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the year, I think it's really hard for investors because they only see one of the sort of five or six things you need to see to evaluate the uranium market, and that's spot price. And spot price has been extraordinarily volatile. Well, its volatility the last year or so has been pretty flat.
You look at term.
But the term is definitely the most important. You know, every other than what goes into some of these funds, investor funds, every pound of spot will get into a term contract someday. Term is on a steady increase, and it's at record levels since before Fukushima. But I also look at we follow some of the trade tech group organization. They do extensive research on a daily basis. And the way uranium is procured, uranium is the last thing the utility buys. They buy the conversion and enrichment services first. Yep. And those prices are at all-time highs and still climbing. Mm-hmm. And they're climbing faster than the uranium price. And that tells them to me that we're still early in the procurement cycle for utilities and that your good days of uranium yet to come. And that's despite all the uncertainty about whether Russian services like conversion and enrichment will be available to the Western world, particularly the United States. So as that closes off here a year and a half from now, it's going to be an interesting ride.
Well, for people who want to follow your story, how do they follow your story one more time? If you can give your socials, your contact, and your ticker one more time.
So we're on LinkedIn under Homeland Uranium. We're on Instagram, same, at Homeland-Uranium. Website is www.homeland-uranium.com. And you can always get a hold of us on our email through info@homelanduranium.com or myself, Roger@homelanduranium.com.
Well, Roger, have a great rest of the symposium. I'm going to enjoy following your story.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.